Greetings this morning in Christ's name. I've certainly enjoyed the service thus far. It's been a challenge to me. We can look into His Word and glean from it things that God would have us to learn from. Appreciate an interest in your continued prayers as we continue to look into God's Word that His name would be glorified. I appreciate the thoughts that Brother Ed shared there. I feel like they very much go well with some of the thoughts that I've been thinking about this morning for the message, that of being useful in the kingdom of God, useful in His work. And we'd like to continue on with some of that thought. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. This morning I did something that I'm not sure if I've ever done it before or not with a message, and that is I brought two items along as objects that I would like for us to consider this morning. And I did this possibly a little more for the children's sake. The first thing that I have here, I'd like for someone on maybe this side of the house to tell me what this is. Anyone, any of you children? Have any idea what it is? Miranda, what do you think it is? Okay. Can you see it? It's maybe a little bit different than what we normally use at our table, but I think you can probably know what it is. Anyone want to venture a guess? What is this? Marina. You know what it is? What was that?
Salt.
Okay. That's right. This is salt. Can you tell me what you use salt for? Again, anyone from this side of the house. What do you use salt for? Okay, we can go to some of you. Okay, go ahead. To eat. All right, you just take it. Eat it by the spoonful. Anyone? That probably wouldn't be so great. What do we do with it? What do your moms do with it when they're cooking? They sprinkle a little bit on the food, doesn't it? What does it do to it?
It enhances the flavor.
All right. It enhances the flavor. Anyone else? Yeah, I think that's a very good description of it. It enhances the flavor. Okay, now I'm going to go to this side of the house. What's this?
Light.
It's a light. What do you do with a light? What is the purpose of a light?
So you can see what you're doing.
So you can see what you're doing. Anyone else want to add to that? Someone said something up here or down back there. What did you say? All right. Very good. For in darkness. It's kind of nice if your dad, if he tells you to go out and do something after dark, if you have a little light to carry with you. Why? So you can see. So you can see where you're going. So you can see what you're doing. Title for the message this morning is simply Salt and Light. I'd like to think about that. Salt and light. There are a number of things that have been drawing my mind to this thought the last while. And one of those things is the phone calls that we've been receiving. I don't know how many of you are on the list to receive prayer phone calls from CAM in relation to their billboard evangelism. But that's one of the things, and probably one of the primary things that drew my mind to this thought, especially this last week, of the phone calls that have been coming with prayer needs of those who are calling in for help and prayer. And to me, this work that Cam is doing with the billboard evangelism is just, I don't know, I'm just blessed by it. It's just an amazing opportunity that is ours or theirs, it's ours, to send out the gospel message. And I'm impressed as I think about that of the blessing that God is giving the church in our day and time. Yes, right here in the United States, that the government is allowing us at this point anyway, is allowing us, or in this specific thing, allowing Cam to put up these billboards all across the United States. They're putting more and more of them up, and the gospel message is going out. When at the same time you think of the darkness in our society, when at the same time society is trying to take God out of the picture, we know probably just a portion of how that is. This thing is sweeping across the nation. It's being taken out of schools. It is discriminating against religions. And yet at the same time, God is blessing Cam in this instance, is blessing Christian Aid with the ability to rent sign after sign across the nation and boldly put the gospel message there. And I just marvel at this morning, because as I look at society and I see what is happening in our world, I wonder. I don't want to be a doomsday prophet by any means, but I wonder if the day isn't drawing close that our freedom to be able to enjoy this could be nearing an end. I don't know. We don't know that. But I just wonder. I think possibly our good times of freedom that we've been able to enjoy in this is possible, or could well be put to the test. All the changes that are taking place, the things that are happening in society. You take the homosexuality and all that, the legalizing of gay marriages in state after state, and now the more recent ruling of the Supreme Court in this, and we're not allowed to discriminate against it. We have to associate, and we are associating more and more with those people. They're more openly about us. Not too long ago in the world news, it said that in a certain public school, there was a high school team that went somewhere to play football, I believe it was, and they were gone overnight. And what happened that evening is that the so-called Christians were made to sleep with the lesbians, and they threw a fit about it. These young people, a good portion of them, a group of them anyway, did not want to do that. They absolutely did not want to have any part of it. And right away, the ones that were in charge, well, they went to this group of youth, went to the ones in charge and raised issues about this. And right away, they said, well, you're discriminating. You can't do that. Well, I think the effects of what is happening in our society is it could possibly be starting to affect us in subtle ways that we're not aware of right now. We could be put to test more and more in this. And so, coming back to my thought, I'm glad that at this point our government is still allowing us to put up signs, to do bulk mailing of the reaching out, to pass out tracts, do other things in spreading the gospel. And so that is some of what brought me to what I would like to share this morning. I'd like to share here from Matthew 5. Probably can guess what verses we're looking at. Let's read verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The call to you and I this morning is to be the salt and to be the light to this earth. Who is Jesus talking here? You go back to beginning of the chapter in verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." His disciples, the disciples of Jesus, his followers, are who he is talking to here. Those that proclaim to be his children, his followers, Christians, following Christ, taking up the example of his life and going with that. It says in verse 2, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." So in this context, we come into verse 13, and he says, ye disciples, you Christians, those that have the gospel message, those that have experienced the plan of salvation, those that know what it is to be redeemed from a life of corruption and sin, you have the message this morning. You have it within you to take that message out. And there is a whole world out there that needs a message, and God is saying, you take it there. We could ask the question, is it an option? No, I'm sure we would agree that no, it is not an option. It is not a yes or no thing here. But it is our responsibility. It is our calling. It is what we must do. I don't believe this is too strong to say this, but as I think about that, I believe that we cannot be saved if we are just going to sit quietly by and not take the message and share that message to others. I really question if we can really be saved if that is where we are. And so I'm thankful this morning for the opportunities that we have. I'm thankful for the opportunity that Cam has to do what they're doing and taking out the message and touch thousands of people every day. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that each of us have, and we'll get more into that. Let's think a little bit more about salt. Salt is an ingredient that we use. We're familiar with it. It's an ingredient that we use for a number of things. We know what it does. It adds flavor. You cook that corn for Sunday lunch, and if you don't put any salt on it, it's quite bland. But you sprinkle a little bit of salt on there, and it brings out flavor. It is something that does it. It adds flavor to things. It's something that is made up of a lot of different particles. Now this is a little bit more of a coarse salt, but even this, there's just a lot of particles in there. If I were to flip this upside down and turn the grinder there on it, it would make it a whole lot finer. Just a lot of fine particles. You shake that salt out and you just have a lot of little pieces. Well, it's full of life. Salt adds life to things. It brings out taste. It makes things taste different. It adds a lot of dimension to a lot of things that we enjoy. So we use salt. We expect different flavors from different things by adding salt. We love it. Again, it's full of life. It makes a difference. Well, this morning, God is saying, ye are the salt. You are the salt. God is saying, I want you to make a difference. I want you to add flavor. I want you to be full of light, or to be full of life and light. That is what God is saying here in these verses to you and I as we look out at the vast world of darkness. And so he's asking us as a steadfast, dependable group of people who again have experienced the plan of salvation, who have experienced the forgiveness of sin, to take the message. Salt is also a preserving agent. And God wants us to be that in our communities and society, that preserving agent. Now we come to this thought of light. We have light here on this side. We have this thought of light. He says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Now this light here, it's on. It doesn't make just a huge impact here in a room that is full of light. But if the lights were all off and it was dark outside, it would be quite bright. It would make a difference. Well, we have this thought here. Ye are the light of the world. This morning, Jesus is the light. Jesus is light. He's the author of light. And we are his representatives of that light. That light of Jesus Christ, as it's in our lives, will shine forth as well to those around us. Light is something that makes vision possible. We had that thought here when we asked what light does. It makes vision possible in darkness. We know that in darkness we cannot see, and that is true in the physical sense, and much more so in the spiritual sense. People that are living in darkness, they cannot see. They cannot find their way. They don't know what to do. They grope around in their own little world of darkness and despair, and it's a spiral that they keep in, and seems like there's probably no bottom to it. It keeps going. And here we are. Jesus is saying, "You have the light. You know Jesus. You have Jesus. You know me as the source of light. You have the answers, and you are the one who needs to take that to the world." You know, really, if we have the light, we're not going to be able to hide it. It's going to be obvious. We won't be able to hide that light that, well, I'm not sure if he really has the light or not. That's not possible. If we have Jesus Christ in our life, it will be obvious. How often has it happened to you, to someone, to you, where someone looked at you and recognized that here is a Christian person, and they made comment to that effect? How did they know? How do you think what gave them that idea? It's going to be bubbling forth. It's going to be there. Again, it's going to be obvious. It's going to come out. People will be able to tell. We are going to make a difference in our communities and the society around us. And we'll look at a little more of that here this morning. Again, it's not an option for us. It's not going to be an option. It's going to happen if we truly have that light. And so this morning, God is calling you and I. Just a few more thoughts in relation to this idea of us having the light and being the light. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's quickly hear for a verse, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just. There are a few thoughts I want to get here. The path of the just. Those that have been justified. Those that are redeemed. We are justified by Christ. We are sinners who are redeemed because we have reached out to God. We have allowed God to reach into our hearts, to touch our hearts. We have accepted him. We're not justified by any means of our own abilities or work or anything like that. But it's by grace that we're justified. It is a gift that God has given to us. You and I are sitting here this morning in these church pews with peace in our hearts because it's a gift from God. It's a gift that God has given to us. We are justified by grace. No, we do not. Now, in thinking of this, do we have the right to sit here this morning and just hoard this to ourselves? This thing of what God has done for us, the grace that is there, the peace, the joy. Do we have a right to sit here this morning and just hoard this to ourselves? No, I don't believe that we do. We have a responsibility to share the gospel message with others around us, and we do this in different ways. And I'll try to some time to get into some practical areas where we can do that. But we have the responsibility to share with others. And when we truly have experienced it, then we have here what it says, the path of the just is as a shining light. Those CAM signs out along the highway, they stand out to me. Billboards have not necessarily been something that have really caught my attention over the years. If the billboard industry or people would be making a lot of money just on how I look at billboards, they probably wouldn't make a lot. I'm not sure why, but billboards have not necessarily really caught my attention that much over the years. But for some reason, these CAM billboards often get my attention. I'm not sure what it is. Well, I have a good idea what it is. But so often, when there's a CAM billboard, it just there's something about it that catches my attention. They're an eye catcher. There's just something about them that draws my attention to them. Well, I believe that is exactly what our lives are supposed to be. I believe our lives are supposed to be an eye catcher. There's someone here who has something different about them. We stand out. I believe that it needs to be that way in our everyday walk of life, in our neighborhoods, our communities. I'll get to that. The other thought I would like for us to get from this verse yet is that it shines brighter as time goes on. You think about that. It shines brighter as time goes on. It's sad, but many of the churches of our day, the church is just, it seems like the church today is just following maybe a little bit behind so many times and growing kind of dark. It seems like possibly it's on a dimmer switch that is going dimmer and dimmer. Well, God wants you and I to be a light that shines brighter and brighter. The path of the just is going to become brighter and brighter as the darkness closes in more around us. Yes, I think it could very well be that the day is coming where there may be persecution, where we may be tried in ways that we've not known in the past. We have lived a life of peace, and God says that we are to pray for a life of peace, and I think we should continue to do that, but also believe that we should be preparing our hearts and our minds and our emotions for something different, because I think we're going to start facing some of these things in real ways. Turn with me now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Read a number of verses here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is saying, I want you to be the light. I want you to be the salt. And the reason I bring this in here is that God is working in us. We are the temple of God, are we not? Certainly we are. God lives within us. God wants to work through us. And many times, I believe many times we get in the way of that. We get in the way of God working. We think that we have to do the work. And then on the other side of that, there's the opposite side of that as well. Sometimes we stumble and we stutter and we hesitate because we say, oh, I'm not capable. I'm not capable of doing this. What is happening in these cases, in both these cases, is that we simply are thinking too much of ourselves. We're allowing ourselves to get in the way of God working His will and His plan through us. I would say this morning that every one of us are capable. We are capable with God's help. God works His will through us as His children. We must just relax. Well, I'm not quite sure if that's quite the right wording there, but we must just allow God to work through us. We must get out of the way with our will, our selfish desires. We have to lay those things down. Yes, we do need to be involved. I believe we understand that, but too many times we come up with excuses like, oh, that's someone else's work. He can do it so much better than I do, than I can. I can't do it. I'm just not cut out to do that. I can't talk. Too many times we're just another Moses. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So if we give our vessels to God, we take the opportunities when they are there, when they come. God is going to work through us. God is going to get His ways accomplished. He just wants willing workers. Reading on, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we see that we are living in a world that needs the gospel. It is a perverse and crooked world. We find this thought here. And I find it interesting that God sticks a simple verse like verse 14. That really struck me as I was studying this passage, that God sticks a simple verse like verse 14 in here. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Have you accomplished that this week? Have I accomplished that this week? I'm not sure that I have. Have you been able to live your life this past week without murmuring, without disputing? If you did murmur and there was disputing, why? Why was there that in my life? Is it because God has not given us enough to be content with? I doubt it. I'd like to read here a little bit from something that was written in a Billboard evangelism newsletter. This is what a man who called into a telecounselor had to say. He said this: everywhere I go from Florida to Montana, I see your billboards, Ezra said to a phone team member. They follow me everywhere, but the sign that has followed me the most is, if you die tonight, heaven or hell. I think God is trying to get my attention. Ezra acknowledged that he was not a Christian, but he was interested in knowing more about God. Our phone team member prayed with him on the phone, and then Ezra began to pray. He asked God to help him come into a right relationship with Him. When Ezra was offered a packet of gospel literature, he said, look, and this is what I want us to catch here. He said, look, don't send anything that stretches the truth or just makes people feel good. I want truth. I thought that interesting. This man wanted truth. This morning, the world wants truth from us. That is what they want. They want the real thing. There is enough of counterfeit out there for them. There are enough of false prophets proclaiming the message in their own way and for their own benefit. There is enough of that, and our society knows that. And I believe there are people that are sick of that. Many of them have tried religion in one way or another, only to find out that the church is full of hypocrites. I'm just trying to impress upon our minds that God uses us, God can use us, and we truly can be the light if we allow Christ to do that work. If we allow Him to do that work, we can be real. People are wanting to see real individuals. That is what God wants. And the challenge for us to live is to live that way every day of our life, so that our communities, the people around us, our neighbors that are watching, they watch us run our businesses. They watch us in our work. They watch us in our activities around our homes. Maybe there is close enough neighbors to us that they can hear us holler. Well, what are they hearing us holler about? What are they gathering from what they're seeing and what they're hearing? I think of that sometimes with the neighbors that we have close by. What do they see? What do they hear? We have a lot of traffic going by our place. People that go up through to the places beyond us there. What impression do they have of us? I believe our neighbors know quite well if we are real people or not. They know if we are really the Christian people that we try to say that we are. Do we understand that that living our life and being real with it is important? We know the expression that more is caught than what is taught, and I believe that's true. Another thing that I'd like to say is Jesus started out here saying, "Ye are the salt," talking to us, to Christian people. And I believe that if those of us who have the real thing do not get involved and do not touch the world, if we have Christ and we have the light, if as Christians we make no difference to the society around us, then really we are of no use to God. God is not going to be able to use us. We must make a difference to society around us. God wants people who are involved and who are going to make a difference. I do believe that we are going to make a difference in our nation. I believe that we are making a difference in our nation and in our communities. But I just like to challenge us to think about that. We must keep being that light. We must keep making that difference wherever we can, even if possibly we feel like it is just in small ways. In John chapter 8, verse 12, you don't have to turn to that. But it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light and life go together. And according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are chosen to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, we already looked at who needs the light. The society around us. The Bible depicts this society around us. They are a people. Matthew chapter 4 puts it this way. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." They are doomed in their condition. They are sitting in darkness, and there is doomsday ahead of them, is what it finally is. And I believe this should grip our hearts and remind us again of the importance of letting our light shine. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul talks about a people who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their hearts. My heart goes out to society today. You think of the generation of people that is growing up, and you think of the parents that these people had, and you think of what they were taught and what they were raised in. They really weren't taught. They grew up. And I believe this verse explains them so well. They have their understanding darkened. They really never had a chance. They are alienated from a life of God. Again, they did not have that opportunity. Yet I do believe that God speaks to every heart through His Spirit sometime in life. But maybe that is where you and I come come into focus. Maybe it's through us, the light that comes through us, that they will see any light if there is hope for them. Let's go now quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 1 through 7. There are a number of things that I want to pick out here in the concluding thoughts of the message here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and it's talking about the disciples, followers of God, having this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now there are five things I would like to bring to our attention. Verse 1 says that we have this ministry. We received it with mercy, and it says that we faint not. As I thought about that, you know, I'd just like to encourage us this morning. As I thought of the years of this congregation, the 20-some years of this congregation, a lot of effort has been made in reaching out. It was a specific reaching out effort that instigated the starting of this church. A lot of efforts were put forth in reaching out to individuals' lives. There were people who came and were a part of us for a while, and we know what happened to some of them. Some again have fallen out by the wayside, and that hurts. It causes heartache and pain. A lot of effort went into this work by numerous individuals. Well, I believe that we can come to the place where we take the attitude of, what is the use? What is the use? We get discouraged. I read somewhere of the estimated number of phone calls that come in out of all the people that drive by CAM's billboards, and the percentage is very, very low. It's very low. But my point is this. We put a lot of effort into something to only have maybe a few respond. But let's not allow that to discourage us. Let's in our minds realize that this is the Lord's work, and it is going to take a lot of efforts. There's not going to be a lot of pay if we're going to look at it in that way, by the people that respond. But there are other ways in which it pays. There is a lot of spiritual growth that comes out, that comes our way and other ways as well. And let's not allow these things to make us faint. Possibly we're tempted to feel, you know, what good is it really doing to go to long-term care month after month? Is it really making a difference? What about going to the rescue mission every other month? Is it making a difference? Well, I'm convinced that it does make a difference. It is making a difference. And certainly we probably all have seen definite areas where this has made a difference. But it's our responsibility to plant seeds. We don't have to see the harvest. And I'd just like to encourage us in this. Let's not faint. This morning we are blessed with a growing congregation. Just look at the workforce that we have sitting here this morning. And I'm blessed by that. Just look at the potential, the workforce that we have sitting here in this building. What a tremendous opportunity that we have of reaching out and allowing the light of God to touch more lives than ever. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity that God has has given to us. Let's not faint in the work and just say, well, what's the use anyway? The second thing I want to notice is verse 2, where it says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." And this goes back to the thought of that man Ezra, who told that telecounselor that he wanted the truth. Don't give just something that feels good, but I want the truth. We need to be living a life above reproach if we are going to be a salt and a light to the community around us. A life that is above reproach. Our neighbors, the people who are around us, probably know better than we do if our life is above reproach. They see it by the business deal that they have with us. They know if that deal is simply about all the money that we could make. They know if we are concerned about them. They know who they want to and who they don't want to deal with in our communities. The challenge for you and I is, are we renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness? Or is it just a little easy to push a little here and a little there to our favor? Manifestation of the truth. That is where people like Ezra cry out and say, I want the truth. If it's not a manifestation of the truth, then more than likely, those individuals will walk away and just say that they're hypocrites. They're not real. Let's be real. The third thing I want to notice, and I touched on this a bit already, verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." You know, there is another power source out there that we have to reckon with, that we have to deal with in a sense. Satan is busy. He has blinded minds. He has deceive people, and he's going to keep doing that as much as he can. Somehow we have to reckon with that. Somehow we have to realize that. Somehow we have to understand that. And again, rise to the challenge. That takes us to the fourth thing in verse 5, where it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for your sakes," for Jesus' sake. We are the servants. Let's not forget that. We are the servants. We do not have the strength to fight the enemy. We do not have what it takes within ourselves to make the difference in the lives of people. It is only as we take the message, we must preach Jesus. That must be our focus. Yes, we want people to come into our church. We want people to join us here. We believe that we are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. But the focus must be on Jesus Christ, Him alone. And if we do that and we walk in the truth ourselves, then hopefully people will see past our weaknesses and see people who care and share and people who are truly trying to live for God. I trust that we can be servants for Jesus' sake. The fifth thing yet want to see is in verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." You know, I know we are human and we fail. But again, we need to realize that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, just a few practical things yet. How does all this work out in our communities? One of the things that I think about when I think about salt is that salt needs to make contact before it will do any good. It needs to make contact in order for it to work. Salt will not work at all if it doesn't make contact. And when it makes contact, then it dissolves and it takes hold and it works and there's life and things start to happen. You get where I'm going with this? This morning we need to put effort forth to make contact. And I feel like this is an area that I need to grow in. I need to put more effort forth in making contacts. I believe that this can be done in many ways. Salt is made up of many grains. That is like the Church of Jesus Christ. Our church is made up of many individuals. We all live in different places. We all have neighbors. We affect their lives. You add all of the people up. You start counting your neighbors. Let's bring that together and add all that up and see how many people it is. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that we touch, and we need to do that. We must do that. We all have a responsibility to make that contact, and there are just so many ways. There are a lot of discouraged people. There are a lot of old people. There are a lot of needs in our communities. There are people who are poor. There are people who are hurting. There are people who need help right among us. What do you and I do when we go out of these doors? Do we go right back into our busy world of work during the week? And I realize that we are responsible to make a living. We must. We need to provide for our own. But I wonder sometimes, do I have the right balance? And I'm not sure that I always do. Do we have the right balance? Are my priorities set right? I certainly do not have all the answers to this. But I wonder sometimes, when it comes to this of being a salt and light in our communities, are we so wrapped up and so busy that we don't have time to stop and talk to the neighbor and to reach into his heart, reach into his needs, the things that are affecting him? Guess what? Our neighbors know that. Our neighbors can very quickly tell. They know if we have time for them or not. Are we touching? Are we the salt that we should be? It comes down to this thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is the core of the matter. That is what it comes down to. Where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. Is my treasure my hobby? Is it my job? Put in whatever affects you. Or is my treasure the lost souls around me that need a Savior? Is it those people who are discouraged and hurting? Is that my treasure? I need that challenge this morning. He goes on to say in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The focus of our eye is what determines the light that is within us. I believe that is what that verse is saying. Where is our focus? Verse 23 says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If we're going to be a light and a salt to those around us, then our eyes are going to have to be looking for the right things. This morning, God wants to use us in helping to meet the needs of those around us. We must hold forth the cross of Christ. It's not an option. God is calling you and I to be a salt and a light, and may it be done to his honor and to his glory. Let's kneel for prayer.